There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this post-election day Wednesday as wrapping up yesterday's runoffs in the primaries. And I will say this. Some counties in the state did better than others, but overall, what a poor turnout. 12% statewide in our area, Mobile County down at around 9%, up to 15.57% for Baldwin County. Places like Marshall County exceeded the state average as well, but we'll get into that. Also, the recap. So think about this. There are at least two races here that were of local interest that have gone from primary to primary runoff to now recount. And one of them, as few as 25 votes separates both sides. And we'll get into that and drill down in the second half of this hour. We'll talk about that in depth. Also take your calls and your text. All right. Also, Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo was just down there with our station, our mobile studio, getting it set up. Dalton and I were down there. They're getting ready to roll. We'll talk to officials from the JCs. Talk more about that coming up in the second hour. And speaking of voting to confirm, maybe there'll be, you know, most likely a better than 12% turnout in the U.S. Senate to confirm President Trump's nominee Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And we've talked about this a bunch. There's a handful of states out there where you have a, and this is through anomalies of anomalies, Alabama has, of course, a split ticket. Republican Richard Shelby, Senator, and Democrat Senator Doug Jones. We're in the likes of states like West Virginia and Indiana, North Dakota. But this puts it into play, as we've asked before. We've still no word one way or another from Senator Jones how he will vote, whether he'll vote to confirm or not confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And now it's time to put some, you know, a little pressure here. And joining us from Judicial Crisis Network, Attorney Gail Trotter is going to talk with us a bit about what the group is doing. And Gail, first of all, thanks for being on with us, and good afternoon.
Yes, great to be with you today.
Yeah. So first of all, I guess let me hit the rewind button for a second and kind of lay the stage out here for folks. So a Republican advantage in the Senate is one, basically. It's 51-49. You know, but of course, Senator John McCain not there to be able to vote to confirm. So, I mean, the real numbers here are, I mean, this is a dead heat.
Yes, that's right.
Dead heat if it goes down by party lines. Now, my next question is, obviously, with Judicial Crisis Network, y'all getting involved in here, you're trying to make it not go down on party lines because you're targeting Democrats that are in states that went for President Trump.
Right, and Justice Neil Gorsuch, when he was nominated by President Trump, he had support of Democratic senators. And with this nomination, too, Judge Kavanaugh is supremely qualified to sit on the bench and in the seat of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is retiring. And truly, all Democrats should vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh. But certainly those from states that voted for President Trump, there were exit polls that showed one out of five voters in the 2016 presidential election said that the primary reason they voted in the presidential election was because of the Supreme Court. And when they asked those one out of five voters who they voted for, 58% of them voted for President Trump. So certainly in these states like yours that went for President Trump in the presidential election, senators are going to have to decide, do they want to represent the views of their constituents and their communities, or do they want to go with the left-wing National Democratic Party that's attempting to thwart the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh?
I got to get your take on this. And if you're just joining us, talking to Gail Trotter with the Judicial Crisis Network and pushing for this confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh, putting pressure in states like ours, in our case with Senator Doug Jones. Okay, the way the game is played is you're going to nominate, if you're a conservative, you will nominate the most conservative person in the Supreme Court that can get confirmed. Right? I mean, you, that does go into the discussion.
I would actually dispute that.
Okay.
Maybe we're saying the same thing, but I want to be really careful here because I think most conservatives do not want a conservative person on the Supreme Court. Instead, they want someone who's fair and independent and faithful to the Constitution. You might be using conservative as a shortcut for saying someone who's faithful to the Constitution.
Well, an originalist. Fair enough. Well said. So, but with that being said, it comes with additional trappings, because within any judgment that has happened before, there are, especially on the social side, there are issues and interpretation of the Constitution the way I see it versus the way somebody else sees it that right. identify with one party more than another and one idea more than another. You could say that originalist is more conservative, right? I mean, that's fair to say.
Yes, okay. And when you're talking about originalist or textualist, that all goes to whether or not the judge thinks that it's his or her position to insert their political preferences on the Supreme Court. So
right.
that's where
right.
I would make the distinction
okay.
between what you and I are saying. Just like they're not trying to push forward Republican policy. A judge who should be confirmed by the Senate is somebody who respects the separation of powers and understands that the judicial branch is supposed to interpret law and not pass law like a legislature like Congress would.
Right. Well, you're welcome onto my soapbox for the last decade on this show, Gail. So, but with that being said, when I look at this and you go, okay, the game that's played in Washington often is one where the minority party, the party out of power in the confirmation process and who's not in the White House, they will get their pound of flesh, however it
yes.
is, by steering, say, well, okay, you can't have that person, but we'll probably agree on this person. But I'm worried that we've entered a new world in Washington with the obstruction coming out of Democrats, Gail, that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it would be. There's going
right.
to be the bulk of Democrats. They're going to say no, no matter what. They're not even trying to say, well, this other person's better. Is that fair?
That's exactly right. And it shows what their perspective is and their thinking on this entire process. You might remember that before President Trump had even announced Judge Kavanaugh as his nominee, national Democratic leaders like Chuck Schumer were saying they were going to oppose whomever Donald Trump nominated. And then at the Supreme Court the night that that Judge Kavanaugh was revealed as the nominee, there were protesters there who had signs with the different names of the top
right.
contenders. So they didn't care who the individual was. They didn't care that Judge Kavanaugh had 12 years on the D.C. Circuit. They hadn't read carefully all of his opinions. They were just trying to oppose whomever President Trump would have put on the or selected as a nominee.
And doesn't that, I mean, that does change the discussion of times past. Obviously, there have been opposition from the party outside of Howard, you know, to try to do something to elicit some control of this, but
right.
at this point, I don't know. I mean, I see what y'all are doing and the effort to you know, make sure people in these states like Alabama talk to their Democrat senator and say, this is what we want, this is what your constituents want.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know that there's anything in the national party, Democrat party, that would listen to anything. There's no nuance. It's either all in or all out.
That's right, and unfortunately, that's the way that we have become polarized. It has been through prior judicial nominations. You've seen character assassinations. You've seen outright lies. You've seen distortions of records. But I think this nomination has taken it to a new level, engaging the reaction of the left and kind of the hysteria over it before the name had even been announced. And you contrast that with people who are as strong liberal Democrats as possible, like Akilah Martin, a Yale Law School professor who who says that there's no one more qualified than Judge Kavanaugh to be able to go on the bench. So you do see some thought leaders in the legal world who are acknowledging that Judge Kavanaugh is supremely qualified to ascend to the Supreme Court bench. But then you see the National Democratic Party and many of these interest groups trying everything they can to thwart this confirmation.
Well, okay, this is where this has morphed, because in the past, I keep going back just to kind of set the scene for folks that may have not been paying attention to this before now. And in the past, the objections weren't on whether somebody was a textualist or originalist. It would have been on, there is a story, this person is a bad character, or they did this other thing, right? That's where you would have somebody not vote to confirm, not because the way they interpret or hold true to the Constitution.
Right. Previously, the nominees didn't even appear before the Senate. Before that, they didn't even have hearings. But you definitely saw with Justice Bork the effort of the extreme Democratic Party to try and assign views to him that he never had. And you've seen this with some legal talking heads like CNN's Jeffrey Toobin, who come up with a parade of horribles that one Supreme Court justice, even if he was the most malign, evil person on the face of the earth, couldn't even make occur. So I think it's really important what you're saying is that there used to be an understanding that the president had the ability to pick a nominee, and the Senate could look over their qualifications. And if there were, if you weren't trying to appoint the dog catcher to be on the Supreme Court, then right. Then most of the party, of the opposing party, would confirm the nominee. And that significantly changed, and we are seeing the fruit of that behavior again through this nomination process.
All right. So, Gail, people back here in Alabama, what do they need to know out of this process if they want to make sure that this happens, that President Trump's nominee is confirmed for the Supreme Court? What action should they take?
I'm a big fan of education and knowing what you support, so I would recommend everyone go to confirmkavanaugh with a K.com, learn about Judge Kavanaugh, learn about his integrity, learn about issues that he's written on as a judge on the lower court, the D.C. Circuit Court, and you can then, after you have informed yourself and decided whether you think that your senator should support his confirmation, you can contact your senators and let them know your opinion. And specifically, you're talking about Doug Jones. Certainly, he's going to have a stark choice, and it's not an election choice, but it's a stark choice of responsibility and integrity. Is he going to be a man of integrity and represent the views of his constituents when he takes that vote in the fall, or is he going to really be pulled into the left-wing outrage machine of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi?
There are a lot of us waiting for an answer on that one, and we'll talk again, I'm sure, about this. Gail, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us today.
Great to be with you.
All right, Gail Trotter joining us from the Judicial Crisis Network. They are working for this effort to make sure everybody gets a heads up here about Judge Kavanaugh, and the situation being that they take that next step. If you feel, and I like what Gail said, if you feel so compelled to take that next step and tell Senator Doug Jones that you feel that way. So we'll talk about that more when we come back. Also coming up in today's show, look at some of the, can you believe it? In two different cases, we went primary runoff, and now recounts in those votes. We just can't make up our mind, can we? We'll get to those numbers when we get back. All straight ahead on this Wednesday edition of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5. By the way, you can catch podcasts. Somebody was asking for something that happened on yesterday's show. They were using for another news group out there. And just like I tell y'all, you can go to the podcast page right there on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Just click that, find what the show was, what hour of the show, and you can go back and check it out. All right, I want to check out a man who you can hear here on FM Talk 1065 on Tuesdays, along with Ron and the gang, with Two Guys and Some Change. One of those guys, Angelo, joining us now. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going today?
Going good. I was thinking about this. You and I have been looking at this coming up here, and are you ready for the fact that it's rodeo weekend, the 85th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and you may or may not make a bad choice here this weekend that could get you in the doghouse?
Well, I would say I am prepared because we have restocked a lot of our jewelry. We've restocked the Open L knives. We've restocked a lot of the collectible coins. So if you are going to be participating in the rodeo, then you need to stop by before you head out there and pick up something nice here at the shop, because you know you're going to need it.
Okay, like, for example, if tomorrow night you're competing in the Liars Contest and you're tempted to add some extra flavor into your fish story by bringing your significant other's name in there and some kind of lie about them, maybe you need to travel down to Dolphin Island with a gift in your pocket already.
Precisely. And the problem is you're stuck, because if you use her name, you're in trouble with her. If you use another lady's name,
correct, yeah,
you're still in trouble with her.
You're in trouble with both of them.
You definitely need to come by the shop, take a look at some of our jewelry, and depending on how boisterous you get in your evening, that really is going to be what's going to determine your budget there.
All right. Well, let's get by and check out what's going on. Give us directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 if it's one of those emergency purchases, Sean. Or you can go online to Facebook and check out some of the cool items there.
All right, great stuff, Angelo. We'll check back soon.
See you in a bit, buddy.
All right, 1225 FM Talk 1065. Yeah, I like this text from unnamed texter. And this is, yes, because is there some trolling in what I said earlier with Gail Trotter? Sure there is. But I think this is a fair question, and I think this person, I think this texter, while maybe coming at a different angle, is trying to assess the same thing I am. They said, should Senator Jones listen to those that voted for him or all the citizens of Alabama? It seems like we are always asserting that politicians should listen to their base, see President Trump's model of governance. Okay. So I think I get what you're saying, unnamed texter, and I think this is an interesting question. And I could look at some of your past comments and see where you're coming from this on the political side. I may be coming from probably not the complete opposite side, but somewhere to the right of where you are. But I think this is a good question, and it's one that I wonder if this will determine part or all of the decision-making in confirming Kavanaugh that Doug Jones would do. And this came up, I've told y'all that Doug Jones has been fairly easy for me to get in contact with in the media, which is good. Now, it won't always give me an answer to things, but during the, gun control, whatever the last gun control debate was, he came on with us, and I talked with him because, once again, what is his job? And this person is asking, should Senator Jones listen to those that voted for him or all the citizens of Alabama? Well, if you look at the raw numbers, there were plenty of Republicans that put Doug Jones into office. It was not even with the entirety of the Democrat numbers and some big blocks came out, a turnout like the Democrats in Alabama had not seen for a long time, you had definitely, look at the raw numbers. Republicans put Doug Jones, or you could say either Republicans refused to put Roy Moore in that position, or they, so it's a negative, or positively they made a choice, right? So when you say, should Senator Jones listen to those that voted for him or all the citizens of Alabama? Well, I would say that if you're looking at the majority of people that put him in office, Republicans are represented there. And if you look at the state of Alabama, went overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. This is the Trumpiest of the Trumpy states. So if this is the nominee for President Trump, and the state went for President Trump, to unnamed texter, to go back on this, wouldn't it be incumbent then, if Doug Jones says, I'm going to represent all the people of Alabama. Couldn't he say the majority of the people of Alabama back the president? This is the president's nominee, therefore he should confirm them. Now, it's, okay, some more text, and says, especially since Representative Byrne will replace him in 2020. Listen, I don't know. There's a lot of people be vying for that job. Congressman Byrne's one of the people that'll be running for that Senate seat, at least the way we see it. But I would say this. I think there's a tell in this, unnamed texter. I think there's a tell here. If Doug Jones thinks he has a chance in 2020 in this state, I mean, we're not even a purple state. It's a red state that had a moment of blue, right? If he decides to go along and confirm Kavanaugh, to me, and I don't know what's in Senator Doug Jones' mind, but it would tell me that he has some belief that he has a puncher's chance in 2020. If he doesn't, the question is, do you fall on your sword for your constituents in Alabama who want this confirmation of Kavanaugh, or do you go along with, and you know, once again, none of us know truly what's in the man's heart of hearts. I mean, that's tough to find. I don't know how many hearts there are in Washington at all, but in his heart of hearts, does he go with the confirmation, or does he go with Chuck Schumer at all and do something that makes the party bosses happy? I don't know. I mean, this is, but I wonder if by the decision he'll make, whether to confirm or not confirm Kavanaugh, will there be a tell? Will there be a poker-style tell there? And what he thinks his chances look like in 2020. I tell you what, we'll take some calls on that when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. You can also drop us a note to the text line, same number. Probably good to put that in the speed dial. So you just put it in the contact so you don't have to try to, as my kin folks say, mash those numbers. You just put 251-343-0106 in your contacts for FM Talk 106.5. And someday down the road, you may have something you just got to tell us, and I'd love to hear from you. At that point, you just go to your contacts list. All right, coming right back, we'll check in with Dr. Bill for the forecast and a news update, and then talk to you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Time for folks at the Alabama Department of Treasury to get upset with me again, like yearly. Just a question. So you got the school supplies, sales tax-free weekend coming up. You just heard that update from Devin Walsh over at News 5, right? Okay, so you've got that coming up. So we know that that elicits a bunch of buying behavior, right? That a lot of people go out and buy. Hey, we are those people. I am, you know, my wife and I, we're the caricature. Two of us, we have the two children. We actually got three dogs. But so, because we're supposed to have one pet. But I mean, we're, you know, four-person family, young children, going to school. We take advantage of those sales tax discounts as well. But if that is such a good thing for spurring buying behavior, why don't we do it, instead of just having these no state sales tax, which ends up most municipalities, counties also pull back their taxes on the given supplies, why don't we just generally lower them year round instead of having these, like, oh, this weekend we're not going to charge you the tax. Why don't we maybe it would increase the activity in the, maybe not, maybe it doesn't, when you're buying a Trapper Keeper at a protractor, it doesn't matter if you get a, you know, a 6% tax or a 4% tax. It's just something I've always wondered. Also on my list of things, and we'll get back to this discussion of Senator Doug Jones' vote to confirm or not confirm Kavanaugh in just a second, but you heard the mention there about the money for the airport. That's a big deal, and it kind of helps, I don't know, give you the rest of the story, I think, why there was so much of a push a few weeks ago to get everybody on board with this idea of moving the bulk of the passenger traffic eventually over time down to Brooklee and kind of swapping with farmers out there, Mobile Regional Airport. U.S. Department of Transportation has announced as of today the FAA is awarding $659 million in airport infrastructure grants, all right? So this is nationally. This is the second allotment of the total $3.18 billion on airport improvement program funding. Within that, now as we peel it back, the onion, the grant includes $7 million to the Mobile Downtown Airport to rehabilitate runway 18/36, reconstruction of taxiway H, and to install taxiway lighting. Quote here from Secretary Lane Chao, who Mitch McConnell's wife, right, says these airport improvement program grants will ensure that a safer, more efficient Mobile Downtown Airport remains an economic engine and vital infrastructure component for its community, end quote. Now, the way the story reads here, says airports receive a certain amount of this entitlement funding from this Department of Transportation funding each year based on the activity level and projected needs. Ding, 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 ding. Remember how many times in that discussion we heard from people with the airport authority and the city about the projected growth, right? Projected what's coming next year, the year after, the year after. And that's what Elaine Chao is saying, is that they give these funds based on projected growth as well as current needs. The funds are made available from the Airport and Airway Trust Fund. These grant awards do not include any funds from the $1 billion supplemental funding appropriated under the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2018, yada, 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 yada. All right, so there's $7 million for some pretty probably needed repairs there, and obviously taxi lights, which have the, you know, which are those really cool purple-looking lights you have on a runway. So they said they awarded it based on future growth. So that's just, I think, a tell going on right there. All right. Another story that's been hanging out since about a month ago. We first reported what might be happening over in Okaloosa County, Florida. And it has happened, y'all. The Okaloosa County Board of County Commissioners, seems redundant, voted 5-0 today to approve an ordinance regulating alcohol at Crab Island. Crab Island, right, that you go, it's not even an island, but it's mostly underwater. It's a crab sandbar, right? Well, the ordinance they passed now bans the sale, distribution, and consumption of alcohol from floating bars at Crab Island. All right, so they've had issues out there recently. They said, you know, they're the challenges faced by the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, other first responders, getting emergency services out there, waterborne incidents. They said they are made worse by alcohol consumption. Okay. So the ban, though, bans these floating barges that are like the de facto bars out there on Crab Island. But it doesn't, the way I read it, and maybe somebody from over there can say, hey, what actually means that. It doesn't say there's not going to be any alcohol consumed out there. It just says no sale, distribution, and consumption of alcohol from floating bars at Crab Island. Now, so won't the same boats go out there with the booze themselves, and wouldn't there be the same kind of demands on the first responders over there? Maybe not. Maybe the fact that if you have a tiki-thatched roof, then that encourages people to drink more than just getting it out of their own boat. I don't know. So that's another note here. And then also a story from the folks at MyNBC 15 said, Dalton, do you see this? Casino officials on the Mississippi coast are calling it the biggest gambling opportunity in Mississippi since 1990. Of course, we've been talking about this for months on this show. Now that the federal ban on sports betting has been lifted, Biloxi casinos are getting ready to open their sports betting books to wagers as soon as possible. Now, we were talked back when this first broke. They said there was about a 30 to 40 day window for the casinos, the physical casinos on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, to be ready to get into sports betting. Back in June, the Mississippi Gaming Commission adopted regulations for sports betting. 30-day waiting period is up this Sunday. So the first day sports bets can be placed at Mississippi casinos, the way we understand this, will be Sunday. So we will we'll watch this. And Dalton, maybe, you know, go give us a first-hand accounting of how busy it is. But there you go. We talked about this, that the Mississippi, by the way, what had happened in Mississippi is the legislature had seen what was coming. They had already made some changes and tweaks. So once the decision at the federal level to federally decriminalize sports betting, basically like we talk about federal laws against marijuana and different things, when they federally decriminalized it, Mississippi and a couple other states, but right here, Mississippi was ready to go.
Yeah, and they did that using, I guess, a rule that they carved out for daily fantasy sports, which we've discussed
right, so that, on the show. That's been a big, yeah.
Quite a bit, and it just so happened that that worked out for them so they can legalize sports betting and be one of the first states. I think right now they'll be, outside of Nevada, they'll be, I think, the fourth or fifth state to go ahead and legalize that. And I couldn't remember where I heard that they were supposed to open it up here coming up right around the 20th of the month.
Well, because we interviewed the reporter from the newspaper out of Jackson, Mississippi, remember?
Yeah, and I've been searching online to see if any casinos were announcing the opening of their sports book, and I haven't seen that yet, but I'm sure they'll all be up and going before college football begins, for sure.
So, but as early as Sunday.
Yeah, as early as Sunday, but you would think that if some of them were ready to go this Sunday, that the press releases would be out there and there would be stories.
You and I would do it that way. But
actually, NBC 15, they're the first news organization that I've seen write recently about the Biloxi casinos. Not even the papers in Mississippi have been saying anything about the sports gambling coming up soon.
And it's also, if I remember our discussion from before, it is about the physical location of the casinos. Like, you can't sports bet outside the it's not now legalized in Mississippi, am I right here? You have to go to a casino, mm-hmm. walk inside the casino, and then place a sports bet.
Because they still have that rule that you can only gamble on the water, whether right. it's in Biloxi or on the river.
Which is kind of ridiculous, back to ridiculous things we do, but go ahead.
But yes. The big money will come, and, mm-hmm. and maybe Mississippi doesn't jump in, but some of these other states that make apps, like Nevada have apps, and as long as you're registered at one casino or the other, as long as you're in the state of Nevada, you can go ahead and place bets on your phone. Well, that brings in a whole lot of people who maybe aren't able to travel to the casino on any given day.
But see, what would bother me then is, you know, with the app being anywhere, anybody could gamble, as long as you use their app.
Yeah.
When you're telling other businesses, this is back to my thing about, I don't have a dog in the hunt, I'm not a gambler, but I said, hey, you know, heck with the lottery, let's just vote on complete Class 3 gaming in the state of Alabama and make it anybody who can put up a bond that shows they can cover losses up to whatever it is. They could have their own casino. Let everybody compete. Why do certain people get to, you know, open casinos and certain other people don't?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the fight, because I know lobbyists on both sides will be, and now there's more than just both sides, because now you'll have the casino lobbyists wanting to keep that business.
Of course.
If it comes down to that.
Yeah,
so.
As soon as they get in and they get their stuff done, then you're going to hear ads, Mississippi doesn't need more sports gambling. Sports gambling could be bad. Only when it's on our premises is it safe. Well, you don't want your kids in a back alley sports gambling. That could be dangerous.
And I've seen some lists recently. I think up to 30, 35 states in the next couple years could legalize sports gambling.
And Alabama will be the...
one of the very last. they say that Utah will not legalize it no matter what
right.
happens. So Utah might be the very last, but Alabama will sure be there right around 48 or 49.
All right. Coming right back, we'll grab some of your texts here. And there's the update on the casino. The casinos having the sports gambling by as early as this weekend in Mississippi.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5. By the way, too, it's a National Hot Dog Day. You know, we had our little discussion, the three of us from the morning show with Dalton and Kelly, about what you put on your hot dogs. I tell you, it's I eat somebody's, I can't believe that I've never had, no, it's not that I've never had ketchup on a hot dog, and I will eat ketchup on a hot dog again, but if I can choose, I'm gonna go mustard. I just actually the list here is the top 10 condiments or toppings that Americans say they like to put on their hot dog. And I guess hot dog encompassing everything from the Franks up to like a sausage dog or Kaneka dog, something like that. Ketchup, number one. Chili, number two. Mustard, number three. Cheese, number four. Relish, number five. Onions, number six. Sauerkraut, number seven. Mayo, number eight. Jalapenos, number nine. And coleslaw, number 10. I saw somebody had responded to this on this National Today page, and they put like question marks, coleslaw and question marks. They must not be from around here, because I mean, coleslaw It's a good, I mean, yes, I like to eat coleslaw like as its own side, but it's a good, you eating some barbecue, you got a hot dog, you get even a burger, you put some coleslaw, forget about it. It's good stuff. All right. Also mentioned a little bit more on the discussion of the votes or the confirmation vote coming up at some point in the future for President Trump's nominee for Supreme Court, and that is Brett Kavanaugh. We start off the hour talking about that. What would Alabama Senator Doug Jones do? You know, he's a Democrat senator in a very red state, and a state that went in very much so for President Trump on the Republican side, right? It wasn't even a question around here. And reading through a couple of y'all's texts that have come into 343-0106, Dan says this. Dan, I like the way you phrase this. I like the quick message. Dan says, Doug Jones should vote based on his determination of the candidate's ability to impartially apply the Constitution. That's great. Now, well, Dan, I actually agree with you, but we may be on a pretty lonely island. Johnny says, Sean, the only question for Doug Jones, this is actually very smart too, Johnny. The only question for Doug Jones is regarding the SCOTUS vote. Does he want the Democrat money spent on him or not? If he votes to confirm Kavanaugh, well, he'll get no money. If he votes against Kavanaugh, he'll get plenty of money will pour in from the DNC. And think about that with Johnny's framing. As if you were in the seat of Doug Jones and you're trying to decide how to vote, I think there's a tell on what he sees 2020 being like. Is it a defendable position? Will it just be waiting around for which Republican will beat him? If you're in a defensible position and you feel like there's something changing and you're doing a good job and Alabamians are satisfied with you, then, you know, basically what Johnny's pointing out is you got to make not only a idealistic vote or not vote or to confirm, but also one based on where will this be? Although I will, you know what, I would argue, Johnny, that because he's such an endangered species and a Democrat senator in the red state of Alabama, he could probably get away with both. He could probably vote to confirm the president's nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, for Supreme Court, and yet still the DNC money would come in because of his endangered species status. All right. Well, let's see. And some other people saying, so when does he have to? We don't know actually when this happens. It'll happen sometime in the next month to 3 months. It'll be happening before November, most likely. So that confirmation will be, as soon as they feel they have the votes, they will move forward with the confirmation process. And lucky for us, Brendan Kirby joins us next hour, and I can ask him. He's in to talk about the president and Putin and a whole bunch more, but we can ask him that when he feels that confirmation vote will come up. Also, a lot of people here talking about hot dog condiments. By the way, condiments and toppings aren't the same thing, okay? I mean, y'all understand that, right? We're all agreed. Yes, Chester, Cock of the Walk coleslaw is a fantastic thing. I've never had it on a hot dog, but I like both hot dogs and Cock of the Walk coleslaw. Chili and coleslaw on a hot dog is Carolina dog. Is that right? I didn't know that you called them. Okay. I didn't know that was the name, that it had its own name, that's a Carolina dog. I mean, how did they get... Really? By the way, this is from a Gamecock girl on the text line, so I think you're predisposed to make everything South Carolina. Doctor, can we look at... Is that true? So if you put chili in a coleslaw, because I've been doing that for years, and I just call it a hot dog with chili and coleslaw, that's a Carolina... Carolina owns some name brand for a hot dog with chili and coleslaw on it? Learning something new there. All right, we'll come back from the break, and Brendan Kirby will join us. Lots to talk about with him. And then coming up at 1:30, Paul Brewski is going to join us. And Paul has tomorrow night, a book signing tomorrow night, and I think the night after. He has a talk tomorrow at Blakely, then has a book signing and event coming up August 2nd at Oakley. The Last Siege, the book about the Mobile campaign of 1865. Interesting discussion for those of us into history or into Civil War history or just history of the city of Mobile. Paul will talk about his book coming up with us at 1:30. Brendan Kirby joins us next right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Hey!